to discuss the real issues affecting the Tasman nations, this is Trans-Tasman Talk, jointly produced by the Unshackled.net and RightMinds.nz. Now, here's Tim Wilms in Australia and Dewa DeBoer in New Zealand.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week of Trad-Tasman Talk on this Friday, the 22nd of October, 2021. It is 6 p.m. here in Green Light City, Melbourne, Victoria, at last again. It's Tim Wilms, editor of The Unshackled, here.
And this is Dewa DeBoer, editor of Right Minds, and I am here from soon-to-be Red Light, Auckland. It's 8 p.m. here, and the announcement was made at 10 a.m. this morning of the new traffic light system, which I guess you've been living under for quite a while. We are still in the current level state, which means that the vaccinated and unvaccinated have equal rights. But we'll soon be shifting to a traffic light system where the unvaccinated will become society's Untermensch.
Hello to all our regulars on the Unshackled and Right Minds YouTube chats. I've put the entropy link in so you can ask us questions at the end, or even better yet, send through super chats. And you've got Odyssey back working.
Yes, it is. There is a stream on Odyssey right now, but I'm still working on cleaning that up for next time, so we're going to have a fixed link. I think will work better. So I haven't got the variable link, but I will put it in the chat when I get it in a few minutes.
So in Auckland, New Zealand is still in this COVID alert level system. So it was back in August, Jacinta locked down the whole of New Zealand after one mystery case, and 10 weeks later, how's it going?
We have managed to crack triple digits this week, so been a number that we've been gunning for a long time here in Auckland, over 100 cases per day, which we predicted basically was the way out of lockdown. Runaway cases, the only way that to prove that lockdown didn't work and lockdown wouldn't work. So that is basically what's happened here now. With the traffic light system now, Jacinda has finally promised there will be no more nationwide lockdowns, but she still said there are going to be localized lockdowns. So we're going to see how that works, but finally, the elimination dream is dead and the nationwide lockdown is dead. So that's two very small victories in a large ocean of losses.
This roadmap or traffic light roadmap that she released this morning to live with COVID, I mean, what the hell is this?
Hell, probably.
Yeah, undefined green, orange and red levels. I'll let you explain it
This is like the war on terror system where like you have like terror alert levels of like, you know, green alert, orange alert, red alert of how bad the terrorism is supposed to be. It's kind of like that, but now for COVID. So perpetuity. There is no end date given to this. She's announced this COVID protection framework. We can have three different alert settings, but there's no alert when everything goes back to normal. So you've got each of these alert systems broken up into three settings here. You see the general things about what's open and what's closed, and then you have the no limits if vaccine certificates are used. So she's made them optional. So if you're a business or a church or any organization, you can choose to implement vaccine certificates. But if you choose not to implement vaccine certificates, then you have to stay closed. So she wants to be really clear. This is a choice that people can make. You can either choose to, enforce the vaccine certificates, or you can be locked out of the workplace, be locked out of society, be locked out of engaging in public commerce.
So this is it's not a roadmap where there's a defined other side, depending on
No, there is no other side. We're already on the other side. We're already in Jacinda's hell. So this is the other side.
Yeah. So imagine trying to run a business with these constant changes, and there's like what there's no. Obviously, there's no answer yet what number of cases and hospitalizations is going to
So as far as what has been promised for switching into this framework is that it requires 90% vaccination, double dose. So
yeah, which is the other thing. That's higher than our national plan.
I believe there are only two or three nations in the world that have achieved a 90% double dose of their eligible populations. So this is, what I predict will happen here is that eventually this will be implemented just because she'll just start implementing it. It seems like it's not ready yet. So I had a quick look around just before the show and I saw someone claim, so this was Chris Bishop. So he's an opposition MP. Claim that the COVID passports will not be ready for another 2 months, which means that in about the week before Christmas, the vaccine passports will be ready, which means possibly the 90% target has been set because they know it won't be reached by then. I've got a friend who's done some sort of rough calculations on if the vaccine tracker, they don't tell you how soon we're going to get there in their vaccine tracker. The good news is that this is done based on the Ministry of Health data. And obviously this is only people that they know about who have interacted with the health system. So there's a lot more people in New Zealand than this, like illegal immigrants and whatnot, but they're not included in the count. So that means that it's easier to get to 90% because it's not truly 90% of the population. The rate at which we are going, we will get to 90% double dose in about 50 days at the current rate, which is slowing down, but that's the most optimistic prediction. So this is why, as far as I can tell, they're basically just buying themselves more time by saying we're going to introduce the traffic light system at 90%. But what they're really basically trying to do is buying themselves 2 months.
And going to the new phase, or hell as you described it, by the Christmas deadline, because I have heard that already some Christmas events are being cancelled in Auckland.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. all of the various Christmas shows and events cancelled the other week or earlier this week because they knew that none of this would happen. There would be no feasible way to plan an event in this kind of environment, so they've basically cancelled it. There are also big supply shortages, so Christmas is going to be genuinely cancelled in that a lot of people will not be able to buy presents. We're seeing, as we'll discuss later on in the show, massive inflation due to these shortages. The end of the year is going to get quite ugly at this rate. She's essentially said that she's going to cancel summer if people don't get vaccinated.
Yes, at a press conference today, she warned about how common it is for respiratory viruses to circulate during summer.
New Zealanders who have not yet had their first dose, if you want summer. Get vaccinated. You should be protected from those who haven't made that choice. If you are not vaccinated, there will be everyday things you will miss out on.
Yeah. And is your health system overwhelmed yet? I mean, your media seems to be in an alarmist state with cases going through, daily new cases now in triple digits. And I know you your papers are quoting all these experts saying, oh, Auckland should go back to level four, or it looks like we need to cancel Christmas and summer.
There's unanimous consensus amongst the experts who all have, you know, taxpayer-funded salaries, cushy jobs, are able to stay home. Usually they have almost no family, or some have no family at all. They all unanimously agree that we have to go back to level four so that nobody will ever die again. Because if we don't go back to level four, then people will end up in hospital. But also the experts have said the hospital system is robust enough to handle 1,000 daily cases. We supposedly have a lot of space in hospitals, very low ICU utilization. Only 50 of the current 4,000 or 5,000 cases are in hospital. And as you might expect, actually, a number of these people who are in hospital with COVID walked into hospital with, say, like a broken leg, and then tested positive for COVID. So they're in hospital, they're counted as a hospitalized COVID case, but they're not in hospital because of COVID, they're in hospital because they broke their leg.
Yes, which all over the world, you just get the figures of people who've died with COVID in hospital with COVID. With, obviously, you're not going to tell every story for privacy reasons, but you should always emphasize they're there with COVID. And given that this roadmap to hell it was released today, it was only fitting that New Zealand had an earthquake even when Jacinta was speaking.
That's right, we did. The earthquake was in Taumarunui, but it was felt most keenly around the Beehive. If you look at this map, the report of people who really felt it were concentrated around the lower part of the North Island there and the upper part of the South Island. So having the Prime Minister make her proclamations from the podium of truth, and then, you know, the earth shakes beneath her feet as she announces this policy where the unvaccinated will be excluded from society. Anyone who does not present their papers take this involve themselves in the system of exclusion. She also encouraged churches to participate too, otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to open, but they can choose to participate, of course, and they'll have to turn away from religious services and from worship anybody who doesn't present their vaccine papers. Right as she made these proclamations and announcements, the entire country shook. You may read into that what you will, but of course, as everyone knows, I don't believe in accidents and chance. Everything is perfectly ordained, and these things are really aligned for what should have been a little bit of a wake-up call for people. But many people are so desensitized to these events that they're not able to line up what should be these symbolic moments.
You'll recall that during Melbourne's week of rage, the protests all over the city streets, when the first of the vaccine mandates came in for construction workers, and hour after, Dan gave a press conference at Police HQ with the police commissioner and police minister. He had an early press conference around 8 a.m. An hour later, there was an earthquake.
Exactly. So who knows? Who knows what's coming next? But we're not listening to the warnings. We'll have to just deal with what's going. We'll have to just deal with what's coming next. Of course, people watching the show, we're not in control of the direction of the country. Just be ready.
And now, as I mentioned, Melbourne is now a green city, although it's only green for the vaccinated, as we reopen. And well, over in New Zealand, everyone's triggered and anxious over 100 new daily cases. Everyone was smiling, happy in, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but that was the narrative. But if you look at they had a new infographic today, which has the vaccines up the top, says 71% fully vaccinated, 16 plus, lists the hospitalizations, 784. Our 7-day average is 794. ICU 145, ventilated 94. You can see really tiny down the bottom, it says we had 2,189 new cases. Probably need to get a magnifying glass out to see that. And 16 people died with COVID, which is the most that have died with COVID during this third wave in Victoria. But well, we're told now, you know, caseous macious, and sadly people are going to die. That's just a reality. So Dan today, he's basically done what I call a Taliban 2.0 shift, where it's like, I'm not the mean nasty Dan who's locking you up anymore. I'm so optimistic about the future. We've all got vaccinated. I've delivered on the roadmap. This is exciting now.
And same thing with the press conferences here as well. There's at least 20 minutes of you know, heaping praise upon themselves and how well they've done. And you know, Jacinda will go on and on about, you know, this, we've done so great, right before she delivers the bad news. It's all about all the good stuff that happened. You know, we should be proud of XYZ, and goes on and on and on about this. And, you know, again, this was also just before the earthquake as well, where she was going on about how we need to be proud. And I was thinking as well, you know, this is not the kind of thing you want to hear from your leaders, because usually pride comes before the fall.
Yes, which is, well, Dan had his fall earlier in the year, as you recall, down the stairs.
That's right. One of the comments I made in the past few days was around the use of these vaccine passports and these exclusionary strategies, as about how people had either been making jokes about the mark of the beast, or some people seriously worried the vaccine might be the mark of the beast. I wrote a piece around you know, analyzing all of the stuff that's going on. It's up on the Right Minds website if you want to read it. We're not going to go through all of it, but I want to focus actually just on the second to last paragraph here about the government saving lives. You're talking about the you know, the deaths here, keeping track of, what is it, the 16 people who died in Melbourne with COVID, when really, you know, there are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of people who die in Melbourne every day. Same thing in New Zealand. You know, and people die in other ways that may be preventable, whether it's, you know, road accidents, whether people die of heart disease or diabetes. None of these things are stopped. We had the report come out just of last year's abortion numbers, and over 13,000 babies were murdered in the womb last year. We've got legal euthanasia being implemented by the end of the year. With those who are familiar with cases around the world, or at least countries around the world who have legal euthanasia, there's a lot of coercion that happens. People who choose euthanasia because they feel like they're a burden on their family and other things, in that same way that people, I have to take the vaccine because, you know, they're coerced into it. And people get coerced into these procedures. No real concern from the government there. And also medical treatment has been delayed for tens of thousands of New Zealanders. And this is possibly, you know, not all of these people who have had their medical treatment delayed will die, but all of them will probably see some kind of deterioration in their quality of life. And hundreds, at the very least, will die because they missed medical treatment. So, you know, the media fetishizes these deaths with COVID-19 and does not focus on anybody else.
It doesn't focus on any of the other hundreds of thousands of deaths that occur in countries every day.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the reasons why the press here in New Zealand is incredibly good at maintaining government propaganda is that they get regular cash injections from the government. So it was just reported on the BFD a few days ago of the second, wave of cash injection from the Public Interest Journalism Fund. They got another $18 million cash boost for another 110 taxpayer-funded journalists across New Zealand. And this is in addition to the $55 million that the media released last year. So the government keeps their propaganda agencies flush with cash.
And we have the hand that feeds you.
No, exactly. One of the few websites that pushes back against this as well is the BFD, run by Juana Atkins and Cameron Slater. And they publish most of my articles too. And I should note as well, there are a few more media groups being formed, citizen journalists and so on. Perhaps I may talk about those in the coming months if they come up. But you know, there is hopefully a big gap in New Zealand for non-taxpayer funded journalism, or people who actually report on the news, or people who write political opinions that are not influenced by cash handouts from the government.
And now, going back to your Mark of the Beast article, so some would say that, what is it, it's now permanent, the Mark of the Beast on me. I just, before this show started, I had my second dose of AstraZeneca. I felt fine afterwards, still feel fine. Now, the worst of getting to the doctors and back was the return of the Melbourne traffic. It may be a green city now. Well, green for the vaccinated. I'll get my green pass, I'm told, tomorrow. But there's red light gridlock all on the roads. It's an absolute nightmare. And everyone's learning again just how much they hate traffic.
One of the things that prompted me to put the article together were people who were joking online saying, I've just got my 5G receptor injected, or I've just got the Mark of the Beast, which is not what my article was directed at. I was using that as a springboard to talk about the vaccine mandates and about the separation of the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and a government that is attempting to enforce a system that accounts for everything and everyone, and they do so purely relying on man's ingenuity and their own technological feats, by saying we can account for everyone, we can bring everyone in under this system, and we can exclude those who do not wish to participate in our system, and we are going to overcome nature, or we're going to overcome God through this system. That's what I targeted my article at, and yes, it was inspired by people making those jokes, which I think is an effective springboard to talk about. No, this is not the Mark of the Beast being applied to an individual. This is a national level application of this mark. So it's not the true Mark of the Beast, but it's a way that the symbol is manifested in a small way.
The satanic governments.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah, yeah. And every time, there are these marks of the beasts that appear in every nation throughout every age, really, where these systems spring up that attempt to be totalitarian and to be apart from God and to fully implement the agendas of man.
And now, part of the reason why Australia is vastly becoming, after having the slowest of start, and will probably be one of the most vaccinated nations on earth, because we're at the transition phase. We've reached nationwide 70% double dosed, and now the next phase is 80%. So in the transition phase, lockdowns become less likely. At 80%, only targeted lockdowns are possible in low vaccinated populations, which might be, they might be put into one of the new quarantine camps to keep them all safe and keep us safe from them. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. These high vax rates
That's one of the things you would have heard in that clip. In that clip from Jacinda, where she said that we need to keep the vaccinated safe from the unvaccinated. So if you're vaccinated, you're not safe because the vaccine doesn't really work. And so therefore you need to be protected from the unvaccinated. That's what Jacinda claims.
Well, it's also been nudged along by the growing amount of vaccine mandates, which Dan, he introduced the biggest one with all authorized workers. Anyone who works outside of the home would have to be vaccinated. Of course, it's still voluntary, but you'll just lose your job or only able to work from home and not being allowed to most places. And Hadrian Anti-Bullying here has highlighted that the WA Premier, Mark McGowan, who I call clown, has followed in Dan's footsteps. So he introduced the mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations for people in essential services and businesses for the long term. Though despite...
Indefinitely.
Yes.
Is it indefinitely or is there an end date given here? The 30... Oh, no there isn't.
Those are just the vaccine deadlines. So Mark McGowan... Yeah. Also this week, he ruled out that WA would be open to the rest of Australia and by extension, the rest of the world for Christmas. So the common line was is that McGowan, he is all stick and no carrot, given that rather than set a reopening date to encourage people to get vaccinated, he's going to threaten their livelihoods with a vaccination mandate.
Yeah. And I've referred to Jacinda Ardern as sort of doing a reverse stick where she's hitting herself with a stick because she's announced that the restrictions are only going to apply once we're 90% vaccinated, which means that if you're currently in a level two area as an unvaccinated person, you can do anything you want. You can go get a haircut. You can go to a restaurant. You can do whatever. But once your area hits 90% vaccination, then you will go to orange alert where the unvaccinated will not be allowed to get haircuts. The unvaccinated will not be allowed to go to restaurants. So you have a reverse incentive to not get vaccinated, because if you do, then if you have any family or friends or other members of your community who are still unvaccinated, they will become excluded from society once the target is reached. So I'm not sure if they thought that through properly, but that is the case where they're sort of trying to encourage people to get vaccinated to hit the 90%, but then you're by doing so, you are committing to a project to exclude the remaining 10% of society. So it's an absolutely insane plan that's being put forward here in New Zealand.
Now, the Northern Territory, their Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, also introduced mandatory vaccinations for most workforces under the threat of a fine. Now, there's a lot of other various mandates for government agencies in New South Wales, Queensland and South Australia. So given these expanding number of mandates in every state and territory, the major supermarkets just decided it was easier to just have a mandatory vaccination policy for their staff going forward, Coles, Woolworths and Aldi. So both businesses announced that Woolies workers would be expected to get the jab before March 2022, while Coles staff have until December. So this is like you, in these situations, you shouldn't really blame or target companies and small businesses, because the supermarkets have done quite well, but I'm talking about hospitality. They've been decimated by government-ordered lockdowns. And so they're going to be compliant. You don't blame them for complying with these new vaccine passports mandates, because it's the only way for their businesses to survive going forward. If you're angry, you really need to target your criticism for the governments that are ordering these mandates.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, in the The government is trying to put the blame here by saying, we'll move forward if only these unvaccinated people got vaccinated. So be angry at the unvaccinated, which is, of course, to shift the blame from them, which is that the buck stops with them. They are the ones in control of the regulations. They are the ones who set these regulations. And all they're doing is trying to pit people against each other. So don't get mad at your family. Don't get mad at your friends. Be as charitable as possible. Do your best to help out with these businesses. My own stance on the vaccine passports is that I wouldn't use one. Hypothetically, if I were vaccinated or unvaccinated, I would either way refuse to get a vaccine passport and to go to any place that requires this. But of course, I'd be happy to, in some way, support friends and other businesses. Happy to, watch out for people who are struggling and help them out if you can. But please, if you can, resist the use of these papers, resist the passports in any way possible, and absolutely avoid places that enforce them. It's one of the few ways to get out of this is that if they are not enforced, if people rise up against them and say, no, we will not comply with this, we will not discriminate against these other people. That's how you get away from it. In one example, at least that I'm familiar with in the Netherlands currently, is there is one of the heartlands of Dutch Calvinism has a 15% vaccination rate. And so the mayor of the town has had to announce that vaccine passports are illegal in that town, because otherwise all of the businesses would go bankrupt, because less than 15% of the population would be able to go shopping. So things like that is what will bring down these mandates. Otherwise, we may be stuck with them for a year, 2 years. They may go on forever, like we've seen with the war on terror, that it never really ends. That in some shape or form, these things stay, or they morph, or something gets added onto it. Okay, your COVID's over, but now you need your flu passport to get into events, right? It never goes away. It only goes away if people resist, and it doesn't necessarily involve you to be active in this particular case, it doesn't involve you having to be active. You have to be passive or refuse to comply rather than do anything. You just have to say, no, we're not going to do that.
In Victoria, there's been reports of a lot of people getting excitement quivers linking their a vaccination status in their Service Victoria QR cap, because then they can access all the things that are open now. I mean, I have to be vaccinated to just get a haircut, which I'll be getting next Thursday.
And that's what Jacinda has announced. So I'm hoping that we're going to get black market sort of back alley haircuts for the unvaccinated here in New Zealand. Like, you go to some shady dark alleyway somewhere and somebody will give you a haircut if you're unvaccinated.
Private gatherings are allowed now. Up to 10 people are allowed in your homes per day, and 15 allowed to gather outside. It's only a recommendation that your guests and the people that you gather with should be fully vaccinated. So the police aren't going to break into your home to check if you're harboring unvaccinated guests under the floorboards or in the attic.
We're still joking about it now, but in the show a year from now, we'll have to be reporting on the cases of the cops breaking into people's houses and checking under the floorboards and all of that. Because this is what happened last year. We were joking about these things on the show, and here we are. It's reality.
And Hadrian is correct in terms of that. We're already being told we'll need boosters. In fact, now supply
you will be getting the booster.
Because supply is no longer an issue in Australia. We've got heaps of Pfizer and Moderna now. They're still producing the 50 million of AstraZeneca that was contracted to be made in Melbourne, but they're not going to be renewing that. But we've got 51 million doses of Novavax coming next year, the vaccine that's been talked about for so long, which will apparently be used as a booster. The Health Minister, Greg Hunt, says that as soon as the PGA approve boosters and then Otago recommend it, because we've got these two different government bodies. One approves the vaccines and another one provides just general advice. It's all very confusing. So as soon as they read all their reports or whatever these agencies, the booster program will be ready to go for, apparently, the severely autoimmunocompromised people can already get one, but next will be aged care residents and maybe healthcare and aged care workers who got their vaccines early can get another one. And Pfizer, they are keen to start jabbing young children. They're applying to agencies all around the world, the FDA in the US and the TGA here in Australia, to have their vaccines for 5 to 11 year olds, which like obviously the justification that the experts are giving why children should be muzzled in schools is because they can't be vaccinated. Then we had the CDC director say, oh, even if children do get to be vaccinated, they should still wear masks in schools. And this is like the new frontier. It seems in these COVID control cultists wanting to muzzle children to make them wear masks in schools.
Orrin McIntyre, famous sort of a neo-reactionary YouTuber and Twitter profile, has his famous tweet that he will post anywhere saying, it's not rocket science, they're just evil and want to diddle kids. And that's sort of what he posts under any of the stuff, where it always turns out that the strange shadowy group of elites who are running the world, they always end up going after children, always.
Well, in Victoria,
actually, and this is not to say, of course, that one of the things you see in New Zealand as well
is for them to wear masks in schools.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you see in New Zealand as well now, and you'll have that in Australia too, that the experts are talking and the politicians are saying, well, we need mandatory vaccination in schools now because for teachers, because they need to protect vulnerable children. And of course, children are not at risk of COVID-19. Last I checked, the risk profile for children is about equal to or slightly less than influenza. So children are of no greater risk of COVID-19 than they would be of influenza. Perhaps influenza is actually more dangerous for children. But this is simply not allowed to be mentioned by the propaganda arms of the government. And they push these lies, and then people hear them and believe them, and then people think that children are somehow at risk, and dozens of children or hundreds or thousands of children are going to die if they get COVID, which is just blatantly false.
We had Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Queensland Premier, today give her daily update at a high school, encouraging all high schoolers to get the vaccine. There was COVID scare in southeast Queensland with an Uber driver who somehow managed to be in Victoria and New South Wales when recently and managed to get back into Queensland, and he's so sick now that he can't breathe or talk in hospital, so they're having trouble getting contact tracing locations out of him. Dan's turnaround and black backflip on his COVID policy has been quite incredible. But this week, Anastasia Palaszczuk was just incredible. She's going to be tearing down the Queensland border, I guaranteed, on Friday, December 17th, even if the state is not 80% double vaxxed by that time. That is the date. If they do reach 80% before December 17, then she'll bring the date forward. But that is the take it to the bank day that the state will reopen to New South Wales, the ACT, and Victoria, the living with COVID states. The living with COVID zone, that won't come into effect until November 1. That's when Sydney and regional New South Wales become one. That's when us Victorians are allowed to go into New South Wales, and we're projected to reach 80% double dose, which will remove the internal borders between Melbourne and regional Victoria by Cup Halloween weekend. So maybe next Friday, maybe next Saturday. And Dan Andrews has said that he will deliver the all of the relaxations at the 80% plus, if he can, a few more. So at 80%, because we still have some really stupid rules at 70%, such as outdoor masks and outdoor retail. So Kmart is only allowed to be open outside, and, well, typical Melbourne weather, it's going to be raining all weekend. Gyms and cinemas are still closed. They won't get to open until 80%, same with indoor entertainment venues. So there's still a bit of a bit to go. We still have another week of a lot of stupid rules.
Have you had any serious issues with health workers or teachers quitting for compulsory vaccination, or is compulsory vaccination not really being fully implemented in Australia yet?
In Victoria, the deadline passed. It was at October 15th for the first dose for mandatory vaccinations for authorised workers. First dose, they have to get their second dose by November 26th. But if you work in an industry which has vaccine passports, such as hairdressing or the pub, you have to be double jabbed to work today.
To even open a business,
There was a lot of confusion over these. Going back to Anastasia Palaszczuk's plan, so at 70%, that's when we can go to Queensland, us in Victoria and New South Wales, but we have to home quarantine for 14 days. At 80%, you still have to get the negative test, so you still have to get the nose poke and throat jammer, but at 90%, as long as you're double jabbed, then if you're an Australian, you can just cross over. And we had today the Tasmanian Premier, Peter Gutwein, who put Southern Tasmania into a three-day snap lockdown last week because of a hotel quarantine positive case escapee who ended up not infecting anyone. This week they reached the 70% target there, so not much changes at 70%. There are still strict conditions on entry. You have to be a returning Tasmanian or somebody seeking to relocate. At 80%, you have to do 14 days home or hotel quarantine. They've set the threshold at 90%, and the take it to the bank day is December 15th, where you can enter Tasmania from anywhere in Australia, subject to the full vaccination requirements. And SA, South Australia, is going to be introducing their reopening the state targets in the next couple of days, and so will the NT. It's only Western Australia that said they're going to be a hermit kingdom for until next year at least.
And in New Zealand, at least, we will have these mandatory vaccination for our teachers and healthcare workers coming in by the end of this month, some of them, and others, I believe, by the end of the year. So I've already seen numerous reports from both teachers and doctors and nurses who have all said that they will be quitting or resigning, or at least, you know, allowing themselves to be fired when these things happen. And this could be devastating in many areas. If you lose 5 or 10% of your workforce, which is certainly possible, in a school or a hospital, you know, if you lose a handful of staff, you know, it's over. I think so. It's possible, and we'd certainly need to see this in New Zealand, where if several state schools specifically are at risk of you know, running out of teachers because enough critical people say that they will walk off, you know, we may start to see these things be loosened and fall apart. And again, that's the only real way to fight them, is for enough people in critical areas to say, no, you know, if you're going to fire us, fire us. So we've had at least one doctor in New Zealand has come out publicly as well to say that she's basically quitting. Several schools, school boards and principals have also made statements saying that they oppose the mandatory vaccination, and, you know, they're essentially telling the government that they need to reconsider because they're very, very worried that this is unhelpful and their schools may no longer be able to function because people will protest. At least enough people are going to commit to walking off their jobs to bring down the system. So whether they will see any of that through will remain to be seen. But I suspect as well that the tighter the screws go, the closer you get to a committed core of people who will follow through, people who will will be willing to walk away, who will refuse the vaccine mandates, who will refuse the passports, and we've seen massive protests in Europe. Most people here probably have seen pictures or videos from France or Italy or whatever, where, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people have turned out in the streets, most of whom are vaccinated, but they're protesting the fact that, you know, the fact that people's lives are being destroyed because they don't have a choice. They're not allowed to say, oh.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian. I think vaccine mandates are abhorrent. And even though I've been vaccinated, I just got my alert from the government that my green pass is ready, but I'm not going to tell anyone else what they should do in regards to their health. I know that there's sort of some commentators who, although they say they respect vaccine choice, wanting to encourage people to get vaccinated, I don't do that either. I mean, it's up to you to make your own private medical choices. So as Katie Hopkins says, you do you, I'll do me. Is there, has Jacinta decided yet on a plan to open international travel and permit double jab New Zealanders to come and go freely?
No, so this is one of the things that people were expecting today. You know, maybe we'll hear something about international travel. Maybe some of the million or so New Zealand citizens who are overseas could come back, you know, without quarantine if they're fully vaccinated. Perhaps, you know, something will happen. But no, all we've been told is that once the traffic light system is implemented at the orange alert phase, then internal travel within New Zealand will be allowed again. So forget international travel. You got to wait at least 2 months before you can get local travel here in New Zealand.
I know a lot of people in this chat are not that happy that Australia is going to be reopening to the world because, the overseas students, the state governments are keen to get them back, and the business lobby, they're already wanting skilled migrants. So even though there has been this turnaround from brutal COVID zero policy to living with the virus, albeit with vaccine passports, there's still a lot of international reputational damage that Australia needs to repair with the images of police brutality beamed around the world. Victoria Police with Melbourne and Victoria reopening, they want the Victorian government to help take the heat off the streets of Melbourne, calling for legal protests where social distancing and order can be in place to keep people safe or having the freedom to protest. Now, because the Victoria Police have just said they're just following orders, and the way that Victoria Police have phrased this is that it's up to the government to decide who has the right to protest, which is not how we've thought it should work that, in liberal that,
democracy. That's not how we were promised liberal democracy was going to work. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we had it's gone viral all over Australian social media. Candace Owens, opinion about what the US should do with regard to Australia.
When do we deploy troops to Australia? When do we invade Australia and free an oppressed people who are suffering under a totalitarian regime? When do we spend trillions of dollars to spread democracy in Australia? Australia currently, make no mistake, is a tyrannical police state. Its citizens are quite literally being imprisoned against their will. So when do we deploy?
Nice.
Now, as you know, I'm a libertarian on foreign policy, and just like the war or liberation of Afghanistan didn't work, a hypothetical US invasion liberation of Australia wouldn't work, because the reason why there has been this police state in Australia in response to COVID outbreaks is because that's what the people have supported. Like, the politicians wouldn't do this if it wasn't popular. The reason why people are sick of the lockdowns now, there was mass non-compliance, and so Dan is opening the place up. We are still a democracy, except the vast majority of citizens like having no rights and governments telling them what to do.
All right, we are in the last 10 minutes of the show. I thought this perhaps would be a good moment to segue into a few economic issues as well.
We're going to give an update on, New Zealand is starting to round up a few political prisoners.
We should definitely cover that. Sorry, we have had the famous self-proclaimed apostle bishop Brian Tamaki arrested now twice. And I believe I said it on the show where I, and this would have been a year and a half ago almost now, where I said that Brian Tamaki likes to protest, but he won't do anything to get himself arrested. But he did. He actually went out there and protested, and they arrested him. He was then let out on bail. He went on another protest, and then they arrested him again, not because he went to this other protest, but because he allegedly went to the park with too many people or something along those lines. And then a judge let him out on bail again with the same conditions. So play it. Go for it.
And then we have Mr. Tamaki present in the room there. Can you see and hear what is going on in the courtroom?
I can see, thank you.
I will remand the matter on the same bail conditions to the date of the 11th of January of 2022 for callover, with a warning. Thank you.
Free Tamaki! Let's go, let's go!
Free Tamaki! Free Tamaki!
A man is being put in prison that does not deserve.
Yeah,
that's good. It's time for the people to be heard! Free Tamaki!
If the magistrate was the only person in the room, why was she wearing a mask when he was not in the room?
don't ask. I love the fact that Brian Tamaki was not wearing a mask in that exchange there. It was like a real good Sharia court with a female Sharia judge. I like it. So there he was in prison for the second time while people were protesting outside, and of course he's got his loyal followers, and they came and the local police station was overrun with protesters from the outside, of course, and he's out. They had to let him go, so some progress there. I did hear today, supposedly during the High Court hearing, where the lawyer Sue Gray is attempting to have the vaccine declared illegal, there was an arrest made as well of a Counterspin Media journalist there, and his name I can't remember. Alps, I think. Kevin. No, I don't think it's Kevin, but something else. Anyway, somebody in the chat will know his name. He was supposedly arrested for an infringement that he made 2 months prior. So they just didn't like him reporting outside the courtroom and decided to arrest him with here's the crime you committed earlier that we're going to arrest you for now. I was Kevin Alps. Okay, I was right. Thank you very much, Origin. Those are all of the high-profile arrests that I know about at the moment. There have been very few. Obviously, we had some at the beginning of the lockdown now 10 weeks ago, and we've basically been promised that we've got another 10 weeks of this ahead of us. So I hope everybody's buckled in for the long haul. For the first time, Auckland's population shrunk as well this year. So first time in recorded history of the existence of the city of Auckland. The population has declined. No surprises there. If I go through some of the related economic stuff as well, some of the fallout from the closures that we've had, we have been told that we have 4.9% inflation officially. As the New Zealand's largest city declines in size, interest rates have gone up for mortgages by nearly 1%, basically back to the levels they were at before the pandemic. So we've had starting to see some increases there. I suspect these will continue to go up. We will see if house prices continue to increase. The government has made an announcement now that all urban areas are allowed to build up to 3 stories. So on your property, you can put up to 3 houses, 3 stories high. Possibly more house construction will take place. And the population of Auckland, as we see now, is shrinking. Due to inflation, due to money printing, due to record debt,
we'll see what drives to catch up with you now. It hasn't in Australia. I mean,
But you haven't been locked down. This costs us billions a week, right? These lockdowns cost us billions a week, effectively. So,
The cost to the economy of your alert level 4 lockdowns, it's much more than our Victoria stage 4 lockdown. Here in Victoria, petrol has hit $1.80, which is the highest it's been for a while. I've heard that it's similarly priced in New South Wales. It's not a post-lockdown price bump. It was already rising the week before. So we've seen in the UK, they had that fuel crisis there because there are all of these international supply chain disruptions, because that's what happens when you prevent a lot of people from working, even if they haven't been infected with a virus. So this is something that could become more prevalent. We have had slight disruptions to our various food items due to outbreaks. So they've changed, modified a lot of isolation protocols, so supply chains won't be significantly disrupted, though certainly they haven't applied that to schools. On some students on their first day back, because there's been a positive case in the school, it's been closed again. So schooling is still a mess here in Victoria. But obviously, the cost of things could go up more in the future if the Morrison government is going to sign up at the Glasgow Climate Summit to the blah blah net zero
climate. Yep, gonna happen for sure. New Zealand chat has realized as well that your $1.80 petrol, even converted to New Zealand dollars, is still very, very cheap. I saw a high of $2.54 this week, so we're paying $2.54 for petrol here. And tomatoes are over $15 a kilo. Yeah, thank you, Origin. That's one of the highest bits of inflation we've seen in fresh fruits and vegetables, cauliflower, broccoli, and so on. This is the end of winter. Like these, other than tomatoes, perhaps a lot of these things should be available, or they should be able to be imported fairly cheaply from the Northern Hemisphere if it's the wrong season, especially common vegetables like that. And these are the highest prices that we've ever seen for these vegetables.
And empty shelves weren't bad enough in some supermarkets, I'm blaming New Zealand for this phenomenon being imported into Australia. Supermarket stabbers we had at Berkeley Square Shopping Centre in Brunswick on Monday. A man stabbed two shoppers at a Woolworths. A man, Rory McCauley, he was charged with attempted murder after a stabbing at a popular shopping centre. So police allege he stole a Wiltshire carving knife from a Woolworths supermarket, stabbed two men on Monday morning. So they thankfully had non-life threatening injuries. He was taken to hospital with self-inflicted wounds, appeared to be a random attack. His lawyer said he has Asperger's syndrome and schizophrenia, so it's being treated as a mental health episode. And as happened in the Auckland countdowns after the terrorist stabbing, the response from Woolworths in Australia has been to implement knife controls.
Ban knives. Took off.
Yeah. Even though,
imagine my shop.
Yeah, even though, what is it? There's heaps of other, what is it? I don't want to give anyone ideas, but somebody could grab a fry pan off the shelf and start, whacking people, or does it end? You're just going to have all the products in, bubble wrap to make sure that it's soft.
where does it end in clown world? The show never ends. So the jokes will go on and on and on forever.
Yeah. But now, another thing that's happening on the side, because our federal government, they quickly got through that law with not much scrutiny, which allows the government to seize people's social media accounts and post as them. Now the federal government is trying to pass the Trusted Digital Identity Bill. Love how it's titled, Trusted Identity.
This is a good law that's totally nothing nefarious
So there's a consultation phase now, which is receiving submissions until 27th of October 2021. The reason why it's so good, according to the government, you can use it on the go at any time. There's been proposals to pay at supermarkets with QR codes. Convenient, save time to access online services, reusable. It's private. You can trust the government with your private information, and you can also trust the government that it's going to be secure as well. It can help business owners and regional families. So it's for your convenience. We're in overtime now, but even though a lot of people in New South Wales and Victoria are getting on the beers, that means that there's not as much attention from in Victoria today. People can go out, so they're not stuck at home watching TV. And for the past 2 weeks, there has been the beginning of the IBAC investigations into alleged misuse of taxpayer-funded electorate staff for Labor Party branch stacking, which was exposed by 60 Minutes Australia last year, which led to the Labor Party's expelling power broker Adam Somniak. So far, the hearings have cost Daniel Andrews a minister, Luke Dunellen, who confessed to paying for other people's Labor Party memberships, and also one of the local Melbourne suburban mayors has had to resign as well. And up in New South Wales, the investigation into Gladys Berejiklian, the former premier, helping her, well, lobbying for her secret disgraced ex-boyfriend, Daryl Maguire, to get a $5 million grant for his Wagga Wagga electorate for a clay shooting range, which there was very little business justification. And yeah, it's not going well for her at the moment. So that's a summary of the blink and you'll miss it developments.
All right, well, we could keep on going, but I think it's probably about time to wrap up the show, and there will be more in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I wanted to finish off with, because it looks like in Victoria, we'll get to have a COVID normal Halloween. We should get to, 80% by Halloween, only which is vaccinated. Sunday. And the scariest costume that you can wear, according to the Babylon Bee, is a Halloween mask depicting a human face not wearing a mask. I mean, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're trying to sort of promote Halloween in New Zealand. I like it. It's fun.
I'm anti-Halloween, so it's all right. I'm glad no Halloween. Yes. There's nothing much happening here. The funny thing, though, is with the masks, at least in South Auckland, there's very little masks. At least when you go out and around in South Auckland, there's very little compliance in general too, and very little people, you know, very little in the way of people caring. People are over it. You're at the point where people who were like, oh, we did the right thing and we got vaccinated, are just over it, because it was like, well, there was no point. And the people obviously who are not vaccinated don't care either way. So just, you know, people are just over it. And now they know there's going to be months more of this, because previously they could string us along for like, oh, just one more week. And I'd always tell people, no, it's not one more week, but that's still what people hear, and that keeps them going. Now that they know that this is, it's sort of finally sinking in, this will go on forever and ever, they care less and less. But Guy Fawkes, caring about Guy Fawkes will, you know, do some Guy Fawkes. Come on, you can't sneak across the borders, but I'm keen to do a Guy Fawkes show, at least light up the city in a good way. Let's do that 5th of November, unless they ban the sale of fireworks, which they could very well do.
People have been going around Melbourne with Guy Fawkes marks on, putting signs outside a MP's offices, such as Daniel Andrews. There, as you can see, it's not technically criminal damage, because they can just take the signs down. So they also went to Tim Palace, the treasurer's office, as well.
Okay, I will usually announce the other things that I'm doing, but I'm not doing any shows during lockdown. Would like to do another video with Amy soon, but we just find that with everything, you know, all of us basically locked at home and with the kids, it's just we don't have any energy to plan a show in the evening. So, but we haven't been doing those during lockdown, but hopefully we will get back to those eventually. And I did write something on the Right Minds website. In fact, Sean O'Connor did as well. If you go to the Right Minds website, there was an article the other week from him about an age distribution of deaths from the United States adapted to New Zealand, and sort of what that would look like, and various people's risk profiles depending on the age you are. So those articles are up on the website, and I've been doing a bit more Twittering, a bit more Telegramming, and I've made one or two posts for my friends on Facebook, which are mostly just people I know in real life. So keeping a bit of a low profile at the moment, just because lockdown time is a busy time, and I just prefer to do a little bit less online and do a little bit more out in the garden. I've ordered some mortar and bricklaying products and things. I'm going to try my hand at masonry and seeing if maybe do some more primitive living, planted some seeds, do a bit of gardening, that kind of thing.
Yeah. In other words, you've already
simple
been
man raided, with simple tastes,
and you don't want to get raided again during this time.
We don't talk about that. Oh, actually, here's the other thing. I'd be like, oh yeah, I could give court updates or something, but there's also they keep postponing all the court dates due to lockdowns.
Yes.
So we'll see. So I was supposed to have that. The court case was supposed to be wrapped up like by the end of next month, but that's not going to happen anymore. So who knows? Maybe in 5 years.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the situation in Australia. I mean, all these anti-lockdown activists, protesters have had incitement charges. They're all still before the courts and they have their various bail conditions. So justice delayed, justice denied. Everybody...
in my case, though, I'm not on bail. I'm the one suing the police, just so everyone's clear.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just talking about why the justice system is clogged.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, people saw the Brian Tamaki clip you played before. He's on bail until sometime in January. Yeah.
Well, to the people in Auckland and what is it, the other areas of New Zealand which will go in and out of lockdown, my advice is stay safe, stay sane, because it's going to be a difficult time.
Stay free.
Yeah. cases are probably going to keep rising, and there'll be more disruption in Auckland by the looks of it.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget that Jesus is king, God is in control of these things, and I'll see you in 2 weeks, Lord willing.
Yeah, and I'll see you in a week with Stephen Berry for Trad Tasman Talk. Same time, 6 p.m. Melbourne time on the Unshackled YouTube channel. Stephen, you'll probably be glad now that he's not in Auckland anymore. I'll be back for Tim's News Explosion on Monday, and then, of course, Wilms on Thursday. Keep checking out the unshackled.net for our Unshackled Productions archive and articles. Good night, everybody. Have a safe weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Trad Tasman Talk. To keep up with the latest real news and analysis from the Tasman Nations, visit theunshackles.net and rightminds.nz.